That's our song of the month this month. For some of us, it's been the song of the decades. It's a wonderful song, and that's what it all comes down to. The 17th chapter of the book of Genesis is where we find our Old Testament lesson this morning. Genesis 17. If you wish to follow, it's on in your pew Bibles, I believe on page 22. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I'm God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I'll make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come, to be your God. And the God of your descendants after you, the whole land of Canaan, where you're now an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. And then for the New Testament lesson this morning, this is about Zacchaeus in the 19th chapter of the book of Luke. Luke 19, where we find this word of God. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was. But being short, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and he climbed the sycamore fig tree to see him. And Jesus was coming that way. And then when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. And the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and he said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. That last verse, today salvation has come to this house because this man too was the son of Abraham, is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what is lost. Zacchaeus, we all know him. We've heard about him since we were very young. We sang about him in Sunday school decades ago. For some of us, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. I was reading the lyrics for that little song. You say, why are you reading the lyrics? You know that by heart. Yes, I do. But I just wanted to see it in print, and it told how you sang that, you know. Zacchaeus was a wee little man was he. And he wanted to see Jesus, so he climbed on the sycamore tree. But then it says, stop singing and say this, Zacchaeus, you come down because I want to stay, I want to be in your house today. Don't sing that, say it, the word of Jesus in that well-known song. And that song has done a great service to the Christian community. We sang Jesus Loved Me just a little while ago, and that's one too, when you stop and think about it, it has the message in it. Maybe some of you have found yourself singing Jesus Loves Me in times when you were scared stiff about what was happening to you in your life, and you just had to remember that. And it was so good to you, was Zacchaeus, the wee little man. Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down. Now that's done us a great service. But it's also done us a disservice. Because whenever we think about Zacchaeus, we think about children. And when we were little children, and that's fine. Because it certainly has something to do with them, and we can use it in our Sunday schools and all over. But we fail to recognize that this chapter in the book of Luke is pivotal for the great gospel message. Jesus, as he was with Zacchaeus, emphasized the fact that he was a son of Abraham. Well, of course he was a son of Abraham. He was a Jew. He lived in that area. But the people didn't look at him as a son of Abraham anymore. They looked at him as a son of something else. They hated him with all their hearts because he was the chief tax collector. And when you start working for the Romans and collecting their revenue for them, by that token, you turn aside from your background, from the treasury of what was involved in being a son of Abraham. And it's interesting that this passage here in this 19th chapter of the book of Luke brings up Abraham. And Jesus says to him, today, salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. Even though he's a Roman tax collector, he is a son of Abraham. And why does he say that? Of course, you could say, well, he was just emphasizing the fact that his parents were Jewish. No. He was emphasizing the fact that even though these other Jewish people had recognized that this man had become a traitor to the Jewish people, Jesus viewed this man as a representative of all the people who were going to be saved by Christ. And he here reveals to us, this isn't something we talk about very much, but we should think about it. The only people who are going to be saved are children of Abraham. The only ones. I read that from the book of Genesis a little while ago, 17th chapter. God says, nations are going to come from you, from all over the world. Your descendants are going to be all kinds of people. Now, this is a fundamental, basic, foundational truth of Scripture. Scripture. That God had a special people. And they were the children of Abraham. Now, Abraham was not perfect, you know that. And all the rest who followed him, but our great God is so steadfast, so consistent, so absolutely true to his word. And when he said to Abraham earlier, get out of this place where you're living, go to a place where I'm going to show you. And when he talks to him, he makes very clear that this man is going to be the center of that new creation and of that new people who are going to be created through the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we sing, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, we don't notice that this passage ties all the work of Jesus Christ together with the covenant that was made with Abraham. And so, when he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the eternal second person of the Trinity, is fulfilling what God had put together before the worlds were made, that there was going to be a special kind of people among human beings, and they would be called the children of Abraham. It had nothing to do with their nationality. It had everything to do with what God had done in their lives. I hope that those who have just made profession of faith this morning will allow me to just make a comment about something that was said when we were examining that in the council room. And it really went very well. It's so good to discover the work of grace in people's lives. But I don't know, I'm ad-libbing this a little bit now because I didn't write it down, but this is the way it went. Somebody asked Richard, when did you really become a Christian, or how did you become a Christian? And I think you said, please don't say I'm wrong now, please. God chose me before I was born. That's what he said. God chose me before I was born. And with those simple words, he announced a reality so enormous, so glorious, so history-embracing, that even though it was said by an ordinary person in an ordinary room, it referred to eternity itself, the great work of God's great grace in the depths of eternity. Oh, I must read this to you from the book of Ephesians. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is Ephesians, the first chapter, the third verse, beginning there. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, for he chose us in Christ before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Those of you who know your Bible well, you know how it continues. I'm not going to read all of it. But this is the truth of God. And there are some Christians, and I don't mean to be particularly negative about that, because we all go through various stages. But they say, no, come on. Certainly, our salvation is not simply dependent only on the choice of God. Well, I would say to them, that is pretty hard to think about, isn't it? Because of the capacities of our small minds. But I trust and I believe that you who are gathered here this morning and you've heard this confession, and these dear people who have made their profession of faith, know that while this is happening on the 5th of June, 2016. The reality of their salvation, and by the way, they were not just saved yesterday or last week or something. These people have been Christians for a long time. I don't want to give that the impression that they never were Christians before, but what's happened in their life was determined in eternity. Now, my brothers and sisters, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Wee little man was he. The Bible is so fascinating, the way it puts things together. And the man walking down the road, Zacchaeus wanted to see him. So he climbed into a sycamore fig tree. It's interesting that it gives the actual kind of tree that was. He climbed into that tree. And there were all these other people around, and Jesus was moving towards Jerusalem. He was going through Jericho, actually. And of all the people who were there, Jesus was looking for him, because Jesus had been involved in his election, his predestination, before the world was made. And when you look at this whole scene, and yes, the song for the children is wonderful, but for those of us who have our senses about us, who have the ability to think about the things of God, when we read this, as they're going down that road in Jericho, the person who talks to Zacchaeus is exactly the same person who elected him to be a Christian. You might say to me, well, which seminary did you go to? Where you heard about that? And I have to say to you, you know what? I never heard about it in seminary. I probably did. I'm not saying anything against my professors at all, because I've certainly forgotten an awful lot of what happened then. But all I do know is that it was just a couple weeks ago that it struck me that when you see Zacchaeus and you see Jesus walking down the road, saying, Zacchaeus, you're the one I want to see. I want to talk to you. And then he went and told all the people after he'd had his meeting with Zacchaeus. He said, you have outlawed him. You have blackmailed him out of your association. You don't even think he's a Jew anymore. But this person who believes in me is a son of Abraham, a real son of Abraham. You have to be a son of Abraham in order to be saved. You have to know about this history. Oh, of course not. You don't have to know it all in detail and everything. But when a person in Rehoboth becomes a Christian, and you've seen that happen, that person has become a son of Abraham. And so we see this painted by Luke, who was a Gentile, about Jesus. So there it is, the sinner, Zacchaeus, who is now brought into the covenant of Abraham, saved people. And we see Jesus, the one who elected him to be a Christian. And we hear Jesus say this in this passage. Oh, if you haven't underlined it in your Bible yet, please do that. But this is what he says. The Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Now, my brothers and sisters, I hope that you will understand what I'm seeking to bring out here. This is the person who caused election to occur. Now, there's a lot of people in this church who believe in election, but you know election is a very dangerous doctrine. It's a very dangerous doctrine because it can give you the impression, well, it's all taken care of. It was done. Depths of eternity. The depths of eternity. But what was done in the depths of eternity had to bring the one who made the electing decision, Jesus Christ himself, had to come into this world. And he had to seek you. He had to look for you. He had to find you. And he had to mount his own sycamore fig tree and be crucified for the sins of people like us. And some people, there are even denominations, they believe in election so much they figure, we don't have to be involved in missions. We don't have to be concerned about those things. I mean, it's all taken care of. There are Christians who say, these people here, they're always praying, they're always saying, they keep going to church, they like to read. They don't have to be involved in all that stuff. If they're elect, that's all taken care of. It can cause carelessness in people's lives. If you don't understand what's happening here in Jericho with Jesus and Zacharias, Zacchaeus, Jesus and Zacchaeus. The electing God says to him and to all of us who read this, please understand, if you believe in election, you better be sure that you better also believe in missions. As the Son of God goes out and seeks those whom he knew before the foundation of the world. And if you believe in this, and you read the 19th chapter of Luke, and you say, isn't that interesting? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. Yes, it's good for children, but for adults, we had better understand that the one who chooses his people in eternity had to pay for their sins in order for any one of them to get into glory. Nobody's saved by the decree of election. Nobody. The only way we can be saved is that the one who elected us is the one who hung on the cross for our sins. This is why Christians should be emotional. Really? I mean, sometime you get the feeling that no, we got the doctrines. We know them. And they're interesting. And theology is interesting. I've got books on my shelf. I've got one. I gave him a very heavy book this morning, but this was even heavier. It's about this one. Oh my. And it's all theology, and it's probably mostly true. Written by a very reformed person. Won't mention his name. I won't mention this seminary, but there it is. And you say, look at all this theology. Yes, but you know what it's about? It's about a Savior who in the depths of eternity knew me already and what I was going to be and the way I'd sin against him. And he chose me. And then he determined to die, to pay for my sins. It's so wonderful, so overwhelming. It's so, what you've done this morning is so simple in a way, but look what it involves. And so we praise God that as we think of our Savior, we Calvinists shouldn't just be saying, and some Lutherans too, by the way, Formula of Concord, right? And we don't just say, well, yes, indeed. You see, we believe in election, it's all going to work out, and that's all going to happen. Well, we do believe in election. But we believe in the 19th chapter of the book of Luke as well. We believe in this Bible, which was inspired by the Holy Spirit of the living God, and here it is. Not just so that we say, wasn't it cute that he came shimmying down from that tree? All the profundity of human salvation is found in that small passage when Jesus says, never forget that election would never help anybody unless I came to seek and to save with my sacrifice those that were lost. And so, Lutherans, Calvinists, whatever we happen to be, and Baptists, there are some Baptists who believe in predestination and some who don't, and whatever. Yes, we have to believe in predestination, but we must understand that that is about grace. Grace! That is what the Bible is about. It's about a Savior who chose us and then was willing to go to a piece of wood. We look at some of the representations of his crucifixion, and there is none that begins to catch what really happened when Jesus died, when the Father abandoned his Son so that he could go hell for us. And it was there that he paid the price that would make it possible for us to go to heaven. As I conclude this, I know some of the people here and some of you I don't know here, but have you ever been moved? Have you ever wept? Have you ever laughed with joy to see that, yes, you are a Christian, you go to church and all of that, but what God has done in Jesus, the one who chose his people and then went out to find them and to pay for their sins. When Jesus finds you, when you suddenly know that it's not just doctrine, but it's a connection with Christ through his Holy Spirit, that's grace. And nobody can think about that or look at that without tears and without joy. Our Savior came to seek and to save those who were lost. And one of the men who was such a person, Zacchaeus, everyone else rejected, but he said, no, he's a son of Abraham. we believe in Jesus. We're sons of Abraham and daughters of Abraham by God's good grace. Amen. Dear God, we come to you and we pray that you will help us understand the contours and the heart of your marvelous grace. Oh Lord, we've talked about things this morning that we have to confess. We show our ignorance when we talk about these because we can't imagine what that must have been like. What we find in Ephesians, the first chapter, we were chosen in Christ before the foundations of the world. We know the words, but we don't know what that really was. But there is something we can at least begin to visualize, and that is when Jesus comes and walks into our Jerichos and says, "You come to me because I want to be in your home today." Oh God, I pray that there's nobody here this morning who hasn't felt the power, the glory of Jesus, our Savior, even little children, starting with their singing about this wee little man, but those of us who are more mature as we think about our Savior. Thank you, Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen.